Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We'll start in the gospel lesson. And I really don't know what to call this sermon. We'll either call it tribulation or consolation. I kind of choose consolation, I guess. That'd be my preferred. But that's what we're going to hear about. Tribulation and consolation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, it's a strange Easter season, to be sure. Here we are, the last Sunday of Easter. And I'd like to just review, because it really does feel like Easter was light years ago. So on Easter Sunday, we heard the verdict, Christ is risen, and just as he is risen, we also live. Sunday after that, Jesus showed up to his disciples, proved that he was alive, allowed them to touch him, proved to doubting Thomas, and he gave his disciples a job. Go out into the world and forgive sins. That's good news. Sunday after that, we heard that Jesus is the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd. He is uniquely qualified to take care of us, his sheep. We heard Jesus say that the disciples would be sorrowful, but just for a little while, because then in a little while they would see him again, and in seeing him there would be great joy that couldn't be taken away. That's good news. Jesus, we heard, said, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's not to your disadvantage, because I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. That's good news. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus say that whatever you ask of the Father, in Jesus' name, he will give to you. We've gone from blessing to blessing, victory to victory, promise to promise. And now on this, the last Sunday of Easter, listen to Jesus' promise. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming whenever whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. There's no maybe. And Jesus does say, I'm telling you ahead of time so that you're not surprised. That's good. But the promise is persecution. Easter Christians. The promise that is before us today is trouble. Now, we do need to be clear about one thing. At first glance, I do want you to notice that Jesus' words are directed specifically to those disciples there. You know, because he says, you're witnesses about me because you have been with me from the beginning. That's not us, that's the apostles. Jesus says they would be put out of the synagogues. Specifically, Jesus is talking about the disciples' own kinspeople, fellow Jews, who would throw them out of the synagogues and even have them killed. And so I think we need to acknowledge that we're not actually the intended audience of these words. In fact, really, it's kind of hard to relate, especially as American Christians. I guess on this Memorial Day weekend, when we give thanks for and we recognize the great sacrifice that men and women have made in the military to preserve our freedoms, especially the freedom of religion, I think that's significant. I don't know what these disciples went through. We are not kicked out of church. We are not put in prison. We are not killed for the faith. And so really, as you hear these words, it kind of feels like we're really just listening in on a conversation that Jesus is having with other people who are going to deal with the trouble that we have not dealt with. And yet, the church has appointed these words to be heard on this, the last Sunday of Easter, by you and me. Because the trouble's not over. And as I was pondering this text, I couldn't help but notice the trouble takes on a different form for us. As we look at these apostles who confess the faith in great opposition, as you hear the stories of the martyrs of the church in those first centuries, these are men and women who had unspeakable things done to them, torture and persecution, death, and these men and women cheerfully went to their death for the honor of confessing Christ in the world. And I hear that, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking about me, and I'm thinking about the church, especially here in the United States, and we got a different trouble. A trouble of the greatness of God's command and the smallness of our work. Trouble of our unholiness and our slowness to obey. Trouble of time running out and every lost hour we frittered away and we can't get back. Trouble of our quickness to see everyone else's sin when on the last day our sin is the ones that we're accountable for. Trouble of the trouble in the church, which is the work of men. Our pettiness, our shallowness, our hypocrisy. That's trouble. It's different than the disciples dealt with. But we got to deal with it. Especially when you consider the fact it didn't take much. It didn't take much temptation. We didn't deal with that much resistance. And yet, when called upon to confess Christ, we were quiet because somebody might get uncomfortable. We have been more concerned about pulling out our cell phones and hearing the words of so-called experts about the coronavirus. More concerned with doing that than bringing out the word of God and filling our minds with what he says. When I think of the Christians, even today throughout the world, who confess the faith in their blood, and then when I think about our own tiredness of God's word, boredom with God's word, with prayer, we get heartburn when church lasts longer than we expected. Am I the only one who thinks this is a deal? If you're not troubled as a Christian in the 21st century America, you're not paying attention. What was it that we prayed? Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Hear, O Lord, not because I deserve it, because there's been plenty of times when I should have been calling out and I didn't. Hear me when I cry aloud, and I know I have not cried out in earnestness. I have been pretty okay with things. But now, Lord, I see trouble. I see the devil. I see the world. And I see my own sinful flesh. I see that I can't get away from my sinful flesh. I see trouble. I want to see your face. Do not hide your face from me. And if I am stuck here, if I have to stay here where the devil is tempting me, if I have to stay here where the world harasses me, if I have to stay here where my sinful flesh continues to plague me, if you're going to leave me here, leave us not without consolation. Give us something, a sign for us that we also are your chosen people, that you are thinking about us, that something is happening here among us, that we are not alone, that you will not leave us to our own weakness and foolishness and pride and sin. Hear us, O Lord. Hear us. Now, if that's your prayer, I want to tell you that God told me to show you some of the signs that he has not left you without consolation. I'm not saying God told me like I heard a voice. That would just be weird. But God has called me to preach to you and show you the signs. He has given his Holy Spirit to this office so that you might know there is hope. Here's a sign that God has not abandoned us. You ready? We're alive. We're not dead yet. And that's something. There is today And God's voice is calling out to you here and now. It didn't have to be that way. God could have kept his word from us. But here it is. Today is the favorable time. Today is the day of salvation. And I'm not saying anything the Holy Spirit hasn't already said. There is now, and there is God's voice. That's something. He's kept us in the faith. When so many reject, when there are those who turn their back on the Lord, the fact that we are here, that the Lord has kept us in the faith, is something. You want another sign? Look around. Humor me. Look around at all the people here in this congregation. I know it's a little less than what we're used to. But look at these other baptized believers. And if you're too shy, then do it after church. We're not doing this alone. You know, people have asked me, how do you lead a church through a pandemic? My answer is, I don't. I preach, I teach, because that's what I've been called to do here in this place. But I tell you what, as we've tried to navigate the best we can through the coronavirus, if it wasn't for your elders, these men of God who each have been given varied gifts, apportioned wisdom that they've used on your behalf. If it wasn't for Dave Witt, who wrestles with technology and who spends many extra hours ensuring that the word preached here is broadcast throughout our communities and into the homes of our people. If it wasn't for Phil Hesterman, who has played in an empty church like he was playing for Carnegie Hall. If it wasn't for our care team, the people of our congregation who have been tasked with the care of people in their physical needs, especially those who were shut in and sick and making baskets and things so that they might be comforted. If it wasn't for the Altar Guild, those women who have made sure that this church, even when empty, is bearing witness to the fact that God reigns here in this place. If it wasn't for my wife, Dawn Gaunt, who, I tell you what, in our years of marriage, there have been so many conversations that we've had where I've just taken insights from her and just wholesale, just took them for myself and preached them. What am I trying to say? We're not alone. We are all in this together. And when you look around you and you see all the different people that God has gifted and that he is working with, that's consolation. God is up to something. And it's good. You need another sign? See, what really causes the struggle for me, I don't know about you, when I think about my weakness and time wasted, struggle is death. One day I'm going to take my last breath. That's going to be it here. That really is the issue. And when you think about the promise that Jesus told, he told his disciples, he's told the church, you can die for this faith. In the face of that, here's the revelation. Here's the consolation. You can die, but can't know and take your life. In fact, what the devil, the world, and even your sinful flesh don't want you to know is that you already died. It already happened. You have already died. It took place in your baptism. When you got wet in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, your life was forever united with Christ so that you died with him that day. And just as Christ died, so also as he rose, you have been raised to new life with him. And even as he has ascended to the Father, your life is with him, hidden with God, protected. No one, no thing can take that from you. You want a sign? Here it is. Here's the only sign you need in this life. Jesus, who was crucified for you, rose again and has ascended to the Father. And your life is forever bound up with his. None of God's enemies win, not even death. When I said at the beginning, here's your sign, you're not dead, I meant, you're not dead. You are alive forever. That's just consolation in tribulation. So, now, what are we going to do with this life that we've been given? Now that we know that God is with us, he's given us his Spirit, we are together. What are we going to do? The end of all things is at hand. We are closer now than when we first believed. What do we do with the time? Well, how about this? Let's pray as if we needed divine intervention every moment of every day, because we do. Let's pray as if our prayers actually have an effect and accomplish good things in the economy of God's salvation, in his agenda that he is working in this world. And then let's get up tomorrow morning and let's do what we've been called to do. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, worker, neighbor, citizen? Do what's been given you to do, knowing that you are also the baptized, so what you do is actually a holy calling. And if it's a holy calling, you should probably be praying about that, right? And then, let's continue to seek to use the gifts that God has given us. Let's live and believe that every single person in this congregation has a place and has a purpose, has been uniquely gifted by the Holy Spirit, so that we can work. Not to exhaustion, not so that you have to do absolutely everything and you overwork yourself, but so that you can take what God has given to you and you can do the part that God has called you to here in this life of trouble. I bet that's going to take some prayer too. And then, Let's continue to love one another earnestly. Because love covers a multitude of sins and weakness. That's the target we're aiming at. Love. We don't always get it right. We sometimes get it pretty wrong, but there is today, and we get to keep shooting. We get to continue as we have this day to be free from the past and to love the people that are in front of us. Did I mention that we should pray? That's what we're going to do. So that's the news for us on this last Sunday of Easter. Christ has not yet returned in glory. We're not home yet. There is trouble. But there is much more consolation. And now we know that we actually get to keep working at something that actually matters. In this troubled, cantankerous world, we can love one another. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.